I'm really excited to speak with today's guest because he really is one of the UK's most successful entrepreneurs. Simon Coulson climbed the corporate ladder with BT, formerly known as British Telecom, for 14 years before quitting the city life. He then started a series of internet businesses and has now built five separate seven-figure online businesses. In that time, he's generated over £30 million or $38 million in sales from his combined businesses, the first £2 million of which was from his spare room in his house. So I think this is going to be an interesting conversation. Simon, it's great to connect.
Great to be here.
Well, I mentioned in the introduction about you stepping away from the corporate ladder. That must have been a scary thing to do.
Yeah, it was. It was, and everybody at the time thought I was a bit mad, but the background to it was I'd been working in central London. I lived in Kent, and I'd been working there for 14 years, you said, and it was a two-hour commute door-to-door just to get to work and a two-hour commute home. So I was travelling for 4 hours a day, and there was overtime available, so I'd been working extra hours. And things came to a head one day when I was actually travelling home from work at King's Cross Station. I remember getting on the escalator, and then the next thing I remember, I was kind of standing on the escalator. Then I remember just kind of waking up, and I was lying on the floor at the bottom of the escalator with what felt like hundreds of people stepping over me. And eventually one of them was kind enough to sort of lean down and say, "You all right, mate?" And I just about managed to go, "No." And I was, you know, I was just trying to work out what the hell I was doing, how I was there. I was thinking, have I had a heart attack? Have I been mugged? Have I had a stroke? Like, what's happening? So it was all very dramatic. They called me an ambulance. They put an ECG on me and everything. And heart and everything was fine. No one had mugged me. They just concluded that I was suffering from exhaustion and my body had just shut down. It had just, you know, you've just been doing too much. So the diagnosis was go and see your doctor tomorrow in the days when you could still see a doctor and get signed off for a week. And basically just do a week of complete rest and let your body recharge because it's just telling you you're overdoing it. And that was a massive turning point for me because it just meant I thought, hold on a minute, I'm 32 years old and I'm burnt out effectively. And retirement age is 67, so I've got 35 years to go and I'm burnt out after 14. This isn't for me. This clearly is not going to last. So I was kind of started weighing up my options and thinking about what else I could do. And a couple of fortuitous things happened really around the same time as well. Ironically, one was BT announced a redundancy scheme and said they were looking for volunteers to go. So I'd get a few months' money if I sort of volunteered to go, which I thought would give me a buffer to find my way doing something else. And the other thing that happened was I'd been playing in a kind of pub covers band for years. And we'd recently just changed that band to be a Coldplay tribute band because Coldplay were just coming to the fore and being really popular. And we were doing a couple of Coldplay songs in a set. And I just had this crazy idea on the way back from a Coldplay gig at Brighton Centre. I said, why don't we just become a Coldplay tribute band rather than just being another pub covers function band? And the guys kind of went with the idea. So it was really the first listening business of rebranding, which was change the name of the band to something close to Coldplay, which we settled on Coldplay.
Nice.
and basically, we'd started doing gigs as a Coldplay tribute band and found that just that rebranded exercise had actually given us a 20-fold increase in income because we used to go out for 100 quid a gig and suddenly we could earn £2,000 a gig. So all these things happen at once. It's like, well, hold on, I've got this other little job here on a Friday and Saturday night with a band where I can get 500 quid each a gig. So do that two nights a week. That's a grand a week. That's more than BT are paying me anyway. And if I volunteer to go from BT now, they're going to give me a few grand to leave. Mm-hmm. And I can't keep doing this BT thing anyway because it's killing me. So let's just take this leap of faith. So I literally left. Didn't have a clue what I was going to do. I actually remember on my last day of employment, on the way home, I popped into a newsagent's and they had a book on one of those little revolving things by the checkout, and it was called The Beer Mat Entrepreneur.
Right.
And I thought, I better buy this. I better start figuring out what I'm going to do because I had this vague idea that I might start my own business. So the plan was kind of, you know, look for a local job, start my own business, and in the meantime, the music will keep me going. So that was kind of how it all started, really.
Nice. I mean, the most important question I think that I'm going to ask in this entire interview is, in Coldplay, what do you play? Is it drums? Is it guitar? Is it vocals? What's your role?
I am Chris Martin, so I do the piano and all singing.
That doesn't surprise you. You do have a look of Chris Martin about you.
slightly larger. In fact, when we started, because we were a little bit older than them, we were sort of bouncing around ideas, and my original suggestion was Old Play, because we thought that would be like selling ourselves short and probably wouldn't get many gigs booked, so we settled for Cool Play.
I love it. Now, obviously, you've stepped away at this point from the 9 to 5, or the usual 9 to 5. How quickly did you read The Beer Mat Entrepreneur?
Very quickly. Within a couple of days, I'd kind of read that, and you know, that got me thinking a little bit. And then what happened next was I saw an advert for a seminar which claimed to teach you in one day how to become a millionaire. And the thing that caught my eye was there was a guarantee, and it said if by lunchtime you don't believe that you can become a millionaire by completing this training, you can leave for a full refund. So I thought, well, it's a pretty bold guarantee. So I must admit, I booked a ticket to this one-day workshop, and I went in with the mindset of, I am going home at lunchtime. I'm just coming here to see what's going on, but I'm sure you can't become a millionaire and you can't learn how to do it in a day. So I will be going home at lunchtime. But the guy running the workshop did something very smart. At first in the morning, he told us all about the business model, and it you know, all made sense. It seemed very plausible. But then just before lunch, he passed round his bank statement for that week, showing he had over £1 million in his current bank account. And it's like, wow, this is social proof if ever you needed it. And it was perhaps more valid for me than other people, because for two reasons. One is I'd actually left school at 16 and gone to work at a bank. And I worked at Lloyds Bank in Woolwich for a couple of months before I decided that it was very boring and I was going back to school to do some A-levels. But when I was at the bank, in those days, all the statements for the business accounts actually used to be distributed by the branch. So they would come to the branch and then we would have to post them out from the branch. So I'd seen literally thousands and thousands of business bank statements. And I was firstly amazed when I worked at a bank that most of them started with a minus number. And it amazed me how many businesses actually are running in overdraft for cash flow reasons. And none of them had anything like more than, I think the biggest bank statement I'd ever seen for a business was like 150 grand or something as a positive balance. So seeing someone who was like a solo entrepreneur with over £1 million really got my attention. And at that point, when he passed that around, I'm like, I'm going to stay for the whole day.
And you did. Was would you put that down as a turning point then in your life?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's what, you know, started my first business. So that the workshop was all about information products, and the guy had actually made a fortune from selling educational, in those days, mostly DVDs and CD-ROMs. And I think possibly when he got started, audio cassettes, which ironically are going back again now, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
but he'd done really well with that. So and I think the key takeaways were, here are products that you can sell that have pretty much got a 99% profit margin. You know, to duplicate a DVD would cost about £1, but you could sell it for 100 quid a disc. You could sell a set of 10 DVDs on some topic. He was selling them for £995. So there's a 99% profit margin. I was just thinking, God, I've been working for this big company called BT that ran on a 4% gross profit margin. And by the time it netted down, it was kind of like under 1%. It was like the complete opposite of what I knew about business. So I just thought, you know what, I'm going to have a go at one of these information products. But what I didn't have was much capital to invest in purchasing. What this guy had done is he'd purchased resale rights licenses to products that other people had already created. So I kind of figured that what I'd do is I'll have a go at creating my own information product from scratch. Rather than license someone else's product, I'll make one. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I've done with my redundancy money from BT was I bought a property. But unfortunately, the only place in the world I could afford to buy a property was Bulgaria, because in those days you could buy a detached house in Bulgaria for under £5,000. So I'd bought this house in Bulgaria, and kind of on a bit of a whim, I just decided, well, it's about to join the European Union. Everyone's saying the property market's going to go up. Let's just write an information product all about investing in Bulgaria, because I was an expert. I'd bought one property. I'd actually bought one property, not even visiting the country. And right. Actually, to this day, I've still never visited the country. So I've never even seen the house that I bought, because it all became a bit irrelevant over the years.
Definitely an expert then.
Yeah, definitely an expert though. But what I learned was, you know, and even more so these days with, you know, AI and ChatGPT and things. But even then, pretty much any topic you want to know about, you can just use Google and find the answer. So that first information product, everything in it I found for free on the internet. Really all I was doing was repackaging information that was out there. And really what people were buying was the time saving, because it's I spent about 100 hours of research to put this thing together, which means that anybody else could have found exactly the same information for about 100 hours of research time. Mm-hmm. Or they could give me £20 and save 100 hours out of their life going looking for all that information. So really they were buying the time saving as much as the information in it itself.
It's amazing. I mean, that's an amazing story to come up with the idea in the first place. And when you released that for the first time, Simon, what were your expectations in terms of sales?
You know, I really didn't know what it was going to do. And I didn't really know what I was doing. I mean, I look back at that first website and it was appalling. I made it myself in something called Microsoft Front Page, which is a bit like Word for websites in the early days. It was a very sort of clunky web page editor. Yeah, I didn't understand copywriting or anything. So there was no sexy sales copy. It was just like, would you like to buy a property in Bulgaria? I've got a guide that'll tell you how. Here's the content. Chapter 1 covers this. Chapter 2 covers that. You know, chapter 10 covers this. It's $19.95. Click here to buy. And it was like a link to my personal PayPal account. And that was it. But I then tried a few things to kind of get the website found. Managed more by luck than judgment to get it on the first page of Google. And then suddenly it started working. And within a couple of days, I was selling 20 copies of this guide a day for $19.95. So I basically had made this £400 a day cash machine at my first attempt. And that really set me off. It's like, right, this is great. Let's do another one. So then I very quickly created the Croatia property guide.
Right.
And just rinse and repeat the same formula. And they did Slovenia, Slovakia, Romania, Turkey, Italy, just basically did 34 of these property investment guides, just basically repeating the same formula, just researching the hell out of everything there was to know about property investment in a country, making a guide on it, making a simple web page, writing the web page, on to the next one.
And fast forward to now, I mean, that seems like a world away, right? Because obviously, as I mentioned in the introduction, you have 5-7-figure businesses. So what's the story between those two points?
Yeah, so basically what happened next was, so starting from that point, I built an information publishing empire, I guess, if you like. And primarily, they were kind of how-to guides. So how to start a business or... obviously those ones, how to invest in property. So I did lots of business startup guides on how to start a cleaning business, a B&B, a coffee shop.
And were you doing any of these things, Simon? Sorry, were you...
No. Okay. So what I actually... The next chunk of things, actually, is a good point. What I actually did was I looked around at people that I knew, friends, you know, family, old work colleagues, and thought, okay, I've got a formula here of like, you can take knowledge about any subject and I can turn it into money. I know how to make a simple website, get some traffic to the website. So who do I know that's got a skill that I can work with them? I can get them to brain dump all they know, make the product, I'll market it, and we'll share the profits. So the next few literally came from that. So I had a friend who's brother was an electrician, so we did guides on electrical rules and regulations. I had a friend who ran a cleaning business, so we did a guide on how to set up a cleaning business. I knew someone that had opened a coffee shop, so we did a guide on how you open a coffee shop. So Basically leveraging that extended network of contacts was where those next ideas came from. And then I thought, okay, then I ran out of friends, basically. So then it was a case of, okay, let's look at this from the other end of the spectrum. What is it that people are looking for that no one's done a guide on yet? So I started looking at popular topics. So I did something on speed dating because there were a lot of interest in speed dating, and no one had really written a guide on, you know, hints and tips for top speed dating strategies. I did a thing on how to become a plumber, because I'd seen an article in the newspapers that we had a big shortage of plumbers in the UK. So I thought, okay, there must be a demand for plumbing education if we've got a big shortage of plumbers. So let's make a guide on how to become a plumber.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's how the next few ones came along. Then actually the drummer in my band, a guy called Rick, he was a firefighter at the time. He saw that I was making loads of money from the internet and would be sort of picking my brains in the band bus on the way to gigs. And he was asking me what I did. I said, look, just come around and I'll show you. So he came around and in half a day, I just taught him the basic business model, which was, okay, firstly, you need a topic, a subject. Well, you're a firefighter, so let's start with that. how to be a firefighter. Then you need a